Joshua chapter 7 this morning. I want to read one verse for the sake of time this morning. I wish we could read the whole chapter. We'll be basically reading the whole chapter as we preach. But in chapter 7 and verse 11 of Joshua, the Bible says, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and pray God to help me this morning as we try to preach. Father, I do love you, and I thank you again for the good day that you've given us to be in your house. Father, we thank you for the health and strength that each of us have to be here. Lord, we do pray for those that are out this morning because of sickness or providential hindrance. Lord, that you'd be with them. Lord, touch them where they'd be able to be back in service tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in the service today. Thank you for those that you brung this way. Father, please help me to preach with liberty and boldness. I know that none of us are here by accident. Lord, we're all on divine appointment, and I just ask you, Father, that you'd help me, Lord, today to be obedient to the Spirit of God. Please cleanse me of my sin and fill me with thy Spirit, and Lord, I'll thank you and praise you. Save the lost, reclaim the backslidden, stir and revive us again. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 11, God said to Joshua, said, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant. Notice that God uses the plural form here, which he said, they've transgressed my covenant, which I've commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also. They have put it even among their own stuff. And of course, if you'll read chapter 6, in chapter 7 of the book of Joshua, you'll find out that God had brought Israel across the Jordan River. They had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And of course, all that crowd that come out of Egypt died in the wilderness, and their children was to be brought into the promised land. And of course, that wasn't God's perfect will. God's perfect will was for Israel to have left Egypt and went on into the promised land, amen, and possessed the land that God had given them. But we know that Israel rebelled against God, and so God let that generation die off and brought the next generation into Canaan land. Now, when they come across the Jordan River, God dried up the Jordan River. It was flooding at the time, and God dried it up, and the children of Israel marched across the Jordan River. The first city in Canaan land that they encountered was Jericho. Now, Jericho was a walled city, walled with great walls, and of course, God told Joshua what to do to conquer the city, and he told Joshua and the children of Israel to march around the city. 7 times, 7 days they were to march around the city on the 7th day 7 times. And of course they was not to say a word. They was not to whisper or sing a song or shout or do anything until God told them to. And of course on that 7th day, on the 7th time around the city, God had told Joshua to tell the children of Israel to shout with a great shout. And when they shout with that great shout, the walls of the city will fall down flat. And so they did so, and the walls fell down flat. They went in and sacked the city. But God had warned the children of Israel not to take of the accursed thing. They was not to take any gold or silver or anything out of that city. All the gold and silver and all that belonged to God. God had consecrated that unto himself. Amen. And so the children of Israel was not to touch the accursed thing. Anything, any kind of garments or any kind of precious items in that city, they was not to take for themselves. It all belonged to God. And of course, we know the story here in Joshua chapter 7 that there was a man named Achan that did take of the accursed thing. And of course, we want to look at that just for a little while this morning, and what happened there to Achan and the children of Israel in this portion of Scripture. And preach on the subject this morning, a problem of sin. Amen. Talking about the problem of sin. And of course, what is sin? I just just want to answer that question this morning. I'm not going to ask anybody to ask me that question. I'll ask the question myself. What is sin? The Bible teaches us in Genesis 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Sin is not doing well, amen? And sin in the Bible means missing, or the missing of the mark that God has placed out there. Those of you that shoot firearms or shoot bows and arrows or whatever, usually you put a mark up, you put a target up, and you try to hit the center of that thing, you know? And when you hit the center, you say, I hit the bullseye. You know, I did it just right, amen? But sin is missing the mark, coming short of the expected results, you see. And so sin, God has set a mark out there. God has set a standard out there in His Word and in His law. And when you miss the mark, you commit sin, amen? And sin is rebellion. It's referred to in the Scriptures as rebellion against God. It's referred to as transgression and perversion, evil indisposition, impiety, a missing of the mark, transgression, unrighteousness, contempt and violation of law, depravity, desire for what is forbidden. All these things describe sin, you see. Sin, the Bible says, the thought of foolishness is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The transgression of the law is sin. And so when you do something that's contrary to the Word of God and the laws of God, you commit sin. James 2:10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And so you say, well, I've never murdered nobody, so I'm a pretty good person. No, you're not. Amen. I want to tell you right off the bat that none of us in this room is any good. Amen. Because we've all sinned against God and come short of the glory of God. Amen. All of sin come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the Bible teaches us that we're all sinners, and sin is missing the mark. John 3:4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin's a transgression of the law. Now, what is the law? I thought about, I need to get me some Ten Commandments and put on a plaque and nail them to the wall back there, amen, so that we can see what the Ten Commandments are. That's just Ten Commandments. Amen. There's a lot of commandments in the Bible. But God gave the children of Israel Ten Commandments to keep. And do you know they didn't keep them?
Amen.
Do you know that none of us in this building has kept the Ten Commandments?
That's right.
You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I know about that.
Amen.
Amen. Have you ever told a lie? If I was to ask for a raise of hands this morning, I guarantee everybody in here would raise their hand. And if you didn't raise your hand, we'd know who you are. Amen. You ever told a lie? Anybody want to raise your hand? Man, there's a bunch of liars in here this morning. A lot of them didn't raise their hand, amen. No, hey, you say, I've never told a lie, preacher. Well, I guarantee you just told one.
Amen.
The Bible says that children come forth from the womb speaking lies. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. That don't mean God wants you to lie, but you are a liar. You have lied. You say, well, I don't like that kind of preaching, preacher. Well, I don't like it either, amen, but it's what we need. I don't like people telling me that I'm a sinner and I'm a liar and I'm this or I'm that. But when I do wrong, I miss the mark and I sin against God.
That's right.
And so the problem of sin, we have a problem with sin, all of us do. You say, well, I've never disobeyed my mom and daddy. Boy, you're a special child, I guarantee you that. I'm not saying you should disobey your mom and dad, but I can't say that. I have disobeyed my mom and dad. I used to get whippings all the time for it. Amen. And I didn't hate my mom and dad, but I disobeyed my mom and dad at times. Sometimes I obeyed them, sometimes I didn't obey them. And every time I disobeyed my parents, I sinned. Every time I told a lie, I sinned. Every time I had a thought of wickedness, I sinned. A thought of foolishness, I sinned. When I didn't exercise faith in God and in His Word, amen, I sinned. When I doubt God, I sinned. We just don't realize what all sin is sometimes, amen. But sin is missing the mark. God has a perfect mark out there, and when you don't hit it every time, you sin.
Amen.
You are not perfect except in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
And so what is sin? We tried to describe it. God gave a commandment to Adam and he failed. The first father failed. God gave one commandment for Adam and Eve to keep and they couldn't keep it.
That's right.
They sinned against God. God gave a command to Cain and he failed. Amen. He didn't bring the proper sacrifice. He gave a command to Achan and he failed. You'll find failures all through the Bible. You'll never find anybody in this Bible that hadn't sinned except Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Any man that's walked the face of this earth except Jesus Christ, amen, has sinned.
That's true.
And we have a problem with sin. I want to ask the question, what does sin do? What does sin do? Hebrews 3:12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Now, the Bible says here that sin deceives.
Yeah.
Sin deceives you. It told Achan that he could sin and get by with it. Now, Achan saw a goodly Babylonian garment. He saw a wedge of gold, and he said, "I want them for myself." And he took them and he hid them in his tent. Didn't think nobody knew about it. And so sin deceived and told Achan that he could sin and get by with it. Nobody will know about it. Now, that's the way sin does us. When we're by ourselves, when we're alone, and nobody knows what we're doing, amen, what are we doing? Are you doing things you shouldn't be doing? Are you thinking things you shouldn't be thinking? Looking at things you shouldn't be looking at? Sin has deceived you if you are. Amen. Not only we see here that it deceived Achan in thinking he could sin and get by with it, but he thought he would be unpunished.
Amen.
He said, "If nobody knows about it, I don't have to worry about it." But the only problem is that God knows about it.
Amen.
God knows about every sin that we commit. The Bible says that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Amen. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And this sin was not hid from God. It was hid from Israel. It was hid from Joshua, the man of God. But it was not hid from God.
Amen.
But sin had deceived Achan. He thought, "I can sin and get by." He thought that I'll be unpunished. And then he thought that he could enjoy the spoils of it. The Bible does teach that there's pleasure in sin for a season. But I tell you, it's a short season.
Amen.
You can enjoy sin for a little while. I was talking to my landlord the other day, and I got to witness to him a little bit, but he said, life is bad. He said, the only time that I'm happy is when I'm getting drunk or doing this or doing that. You know, he's talking about wicked things. And I said, yeah, sin has pleasure for a season.
Right.
But he's talking about how miserable he was.
Right.
And I was telling him, I used to be the same way, but the Lord saved me and the Lord changed my life. And now things are different, amen.
Amen.
But he just can't see it yet. But he thought that he thinks that he can enjoy sin, and that's where his happiness comes from, but it don't.
That's right.
I used to think, man, I'm having a good time for about 30, 45 minutes or maybe an hour. And then I was sick and throwing up and all my money's gone, my car's wrecked and I'm in jail and all kinds of things. Every time I see a blue light, I get nervous. Amen. Still, I've been saved 31 years. Every time I see a policeman, I slow down.
Oh,
and every time I see a policeman, amen, I get nervous.
Amen.
Why? Because I used to do a lot of bad things. I used to be into a lot of sin. And boy, every time I'd get into sin, I'd get in trouble. Oh, Achan thought that he could enjoy sin, but he didn't very long. verse 21. I want you to look at Joshua chapter 7, verse 21. Notice what he says here. The Bible says, "And when I saw the spoils, saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." He saw, he coveted, he took, and then he hid. And that's what the same process is going to happen in your life. If you see something that you want, that you know that God don't want you to have, and you start coveting that, and you take that, you'll hide that.
Amen.
You'll try to hide it. Amen.
Right.
And you'll push God aside, try to push God out of your life.
Right.
Amen. Sin deceives. Not only does sin deceive, but sin defiles. Now, in Joshua chapter 7, the children of Israel here was going up to fight against Ai. Now, Ai was a little city. Didn't have a lot of folks in it. God had just given them a great victory. The walls of Jericho had fell down flat, and they sacked this city, and they knew that God was going to give them the land now.
Amen.
But instead of inquiring of the Lord, instead of Joshua and the children of Israel getting down and praying and asking God what he wanted them to do next and what city they would conquer next, amen, they didn't even pray about it. They just said, "Here's Ai, this little city. We're well able to take it. Let's just take a few men up there and we'll sack that city too." They got self-confident a little bit, didn't they?
That's right.
But they didn't realize that God would not go with them that day.
Amen.
And one reason that God would not go with them that day is because there was sin in the camp.
Amen.
Achan had committed a trespass in the accursed thing. He had stolen that wedge of gold and that Babylonian garment and took it and hid it in his tent and tried to hide it from the children of Israel and God. The thing that happened, that Israel went up against Ai, and the men of Ai came out against them and destroyed down to the ground, I think it's 36 men lost their life of the children of Israel, and they run away from the men of Ai. Children of Israel come back and tells Joshua, "Man, they're all down in the dumps. They're depressed. They fall on their face, begin to pray and ask God why he let this happen." Amen. And God told Joshua, said, "You get up. There's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. Sin defiles." You know, sin defiles the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." When you commit sin, you defile the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You need to cleanse the temple. Amen.
Amen.
Sin defiles. Not only does it defile the temple of the Holy Ghost, your body, but it defiles the church. You know that? When a child of God sins against the Lord and don't confess it, amen, it defiles the church. Did you know that when God confronted the children of Israel with this, he said Israel has sinned. He didn't say Achan had sinned. He said Israel has sinned.
Amen.
His sin defiled the whole camp of Israel.
That's right.
Now I'm talking about millions of people.
That's right.
I mean, there's a lot of people out there in this camp. This is the children of Israel that's been brought out of Egyptian bondage and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and now they're entered into the Canaan land, and God said, "Israel has sinned, and I'm not going to go with you no more until you get the sin out of the camp." When we sin and don't confess it, we defile the church. We defile our little camp. Amen. We want God with us. We want God's presence. We want God's power in our services. Amen. We've got to get the sin out of our life.
Amen.
From the preacher down through the pews. Amen. We've got to get the sin out of our life. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now, whether you're a Jew or Gentile, bond or free this morning, if you've been saved by the grace of God and you come to this church, you're part of this camp.
Amen.
Amen. You're part of this assembly. Now, I'm not saying that we're all perfect. Amen. I'd be the first to say I'm not perfect, but I need to keep my sins confessed. I need to keep my heart right with God. I need to stay in fellowship with the Lord. Because when I don't, I defile the camp. I defile my body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, and defile the church house. And not only that, we defile our homes. Amen. Joshua 22:20. The Bible said, "Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity." Did you know that our sin affects other people?
Amen.
It affects us, it affects the church, it affects our family.
That's right.
Listen, you read, look at verse 24 and 25 of Joshua 7. Verse 24 and 25, the Bible says, "And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stone them with stones." Achan wasn't the only one that died. Achan's little children died. Achan's wife died. His cattle died. Everything that he had died. I mean, it was burnt up. It was stoned to death and burnt. You say that's pretty extreme. God wanted sin out of the camp. God hates sin. God don't hate sinners, he hates sin. Amen. And God will not tolerate sin in us. If you're a child of God, you cannot sin and get by with it. If you can sin and get by with it, you're not a child of God.
Amen.
And so sin defiles God's holy temple, defiles the church, defiles our home. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want my children to be destroyed because of my sins. My sins are many. My days are few and my sins are many. Amen. But I want to keep my sins confessed to the Lord. When I sin against God, I better find an altar somewhere and pray and ask God to forgive me.
That's right.
I better get out in the woods somewhere, amen, get behind a stump somewhere and bow my head before God and cry out to my Lord and ask His forgiveness. If I'm going to have His presence with me, if I'm going to have His blessings on my life, I got to keep my sins confessed.
Right.
Why? Because my sin will defile my temple, the temple of the Holy Ghost. My sin will defile the church family. My sin will defile my home.
Amen.
And so I got to keep it out of my life.
Amen.
And so sin defiles. Not only sin defiles, sin dishonors. And that word dishonor means to treat disrespectfully, to insult. Now, sin, this is a dishonoring thing. And we won't talk about that in just a minute. It's an offense against God, to start with. Every time that you sin, you offend God. Every time. You say, well, it's just a little lie. Well, that's an offense against God. You say it's just a little sin. It's just one of the little foxes, amen. The little foxes spoil the vines. It's just a little thing, but it offends God.
Amen.
And when you become offense against God, then you're going to face the wrath, or not the wrath of God, but the judgment of God. Amen. And there is a difference. Sin dishonors. It dishonors the Father who gave His Son. It dishonors the Savior who shed His blood. It dishonors the Holy Ghost who lovingly tries to conform us to the image of Christ. It dishonors the man of God who tries to instruct us. Amen. Sin dishonors. Not only does sin dishonor, sin disgraces. Sin disgraces us before others. It brings shame.
Yes, sir.
Now, it'll bring shame to our family. Look at verse 14. In Joshua chapter 7 and verse 14, the Bible says, "In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel." So Joshua rose up early in the morning, brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. Now Judah was to lead the children of Israel. But Achan was of the tribe of Judah, so that brought a shame on the tribe of Judah. And then the Bible says he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Don't you think that the Zerahites was ashamed? Don't you think that Zabdi was ashamed? Hit somebody in my family. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. All the tribe and all the families of this man's lineage was named. Somebody in this tribe, somebody in this man's descendants, somebody in this man's family has sinned against God and brought this shame upon the camp of Israel. You don't think sin disgraces? It disgraces. We don't do things like they did in the Old Testament, and I'm glad they don't. I'd been killed a long time ago.
Amen.
Do you know under the law in the Old Testament, if a child disobeyed his parents can repeatedly, that they'd take them out and stone to death? You curse your mom and your daddy, they'd take you out and kill you. They'd get rid of you. You stole a man, they'd hang you. They'd stone you to death. You committed adultery, they'd stone you to death. I mean, all kinds of sin. They would stone you to death. You stole something. Man, you was in trouble. You pick up sticks on the Sabbath day, they'd stone you to death. You take God's name in vain, they'd stone you to death. You wasn't one to live under the law in the Old Testament.
Amen.
I mean, everybody in here would probably be dead by now.
Right.
Thank God we're not under law, but under grace. Amen.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. But sin is still an offense against God.
Amen.
And sin must be paid for. Sin disgraces. When we get sin in our life, it brings disgrace to our family. Our earthly family and our church family. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 5:1 and 2, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. There was a man in the Corinthian church that had committed sin with his father's wife, his stepmother. And the Bible says it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you in the church at Corinth. That was a shame on the church at Corinth. And when we get sin in our life and it unconfessed, amen, it shames our family. When we get caught up with, we bring shame on our family, we bring shame on our church family, and we disgrace God. 1 Timothy 5:14 says, "Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." When we have unconfessed sin in our life, the devil has a heyday with it. You're trying to hide something in your life, amen, the devil's going to have a heyday with it. And if you don't confess it, it's going to come out. And we'll see that in just a minute. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, as servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether as sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness?" Are you serving sin or are you serving the Lord? You got unconfessed sin in your life, you're serving sin. Amen. John 3:34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Amen. I'm glad that he set us free from sin.
Amen.
But don't be a servant of sin. Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage that he set you free from. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christ set you free from the bondage of sin. Don't wrap yourself up again in it.
Amen.
Don't put those chains back on you. And don't let the devil try to pull it tight, amen, put his padlock back on you. Don't give your life back over to the things of the flesh and the devil. Sin disarms us. It disarms us of God's power to serve the Lord. It disarms us of God's protection against our enemies. Verse 5, look at Joshua 7:5. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, whereof the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Sin disarms you of God's power. Sin disarms you of God's protection. And sin disarms you of God's provisions. In verse 12, notice what he said. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. We've got to have God with us. We've got to have God's blessings on us.
Right.
Amen. And we've got to unconfess sins in our life. It disarms us of God's power, protection, provisions. And not only that, but sin defeats us. Sin will defeat you in your confidence. Amen? Confidence to do God's will. Israel lost their confidence. They were real confident when they went against Ai. But after their defeat, they lost that confidence. And the reason they lost their confidence is because there was sin in the camp. Amen? When you got sin in your life, you lose your spiritual confidence, your boldness in the Lord. You lose your conflicts. When the devil fights you, you yield. You give in.
That's right.
Sin begets more sin.
Amen.
The more you get entangled up in sin, the worse it gets.
Amen.
Until you bring that to the Lord and confess it and get it right. Not only sin defeats us in our confidence and our conflicts, but in our construction. The building of our children, our church, and our community feeds us in our character. We lose our convictions, lose our faithfulness. When you got unconfessed sin in your life, you don't have no convictions. When you are entangled again with the yoke of bondage, amen, all the things that the world are doing don't seem so bad. Don't seem so bad to you no more. But when your heart's right with God, you hate that.
Amen.
You're against that. You got some convictions against that. You lose your faithfulness. Sin defeats us. And then sin will destroy us. Sin destroyed Achan. He is slipping around on eggshells. I mean, he's got that gold hid in his tent. He's got that goodly Babylonian garment. He's dug him a hole. He's hid it in his tent. He can't wear that garment. He can't sell that gold and that silver to nobody. He can't do nothing. He can't buy nothing with it. He can't sell it. He can't do nothing with it. And he's so scared that somebody's going to find out about it. Sin destroys our fellowship with God and the brethren. It brings selfishness, loss of joy. We lose spiritual enthusiasm. You know why people ain't fired up to serve God? Most time we got sin in our life.
Amen.
When we got sin in our life, it's unconfessed. We have no spiritual zeal.
Yeah.
Amen. There's no peace. There's no love. There's no vision. And where there's no vision, the people perish. Sin destroys our testimony. We're no longer an influence on others. There's a man come to this church years ago. I mean, he is one of them super duper soul winners. And thank God there's somebody that wants to win souls. Amen. I praise the Lord people want to win souls.
Amen.
I tell you, we need to witness more to people.
Amen.
We need to love people's souls and want to see them get saved by the grace of God. But he was a super duper soul winner. He said, "Preacher, I want to go soul winning." I said, "When you want to go?" He said, "Let's go Saturday." I said, "All right, let's go Saturday." He said, "I want to do more soul winning." I said, "When you want to go?" He said, "Let's go one time during the week." I said, "Let's go." We went. Every time he wanted to go, I'd go. You want to go soul winning? I'll go with you.
Amen.
If I'm not providentially hindered, I'll go. Amen. But he just won't go soul winning all the time. Well, he's out here inviting all these people to come to church. Come Sunday morning, he's not in church. As a fellow come to church, said, "Where's so-and-so at?" I said, "I had no idea." "Does he come to church here?" "Yeah, he comes to church here." "Where's he at?" "I don't know." Next Sunday comes around, he's going, "Let's go soul winning." We go soul winning. Next Sunday comes around, he's not in church. What kind of testimony is that? If I invite somebody to church, I'm going to make sure I'm there when they come, amen. Unless I'm dying.
Amen.
I'm in the hospital or something. Got a, amen, they took me off on a gurney somewhere. Or I'm down at the mortuary. If I witness somebody and invite them to church and they tell me they're going to come, I'm going to be there.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Yes.
Amen. But I tell you what, if your testimony, if your life don't back up your testimony, you don't have no testimony.
Amen.
You say, "I love God," amen. You live like the devil and you do the things of the world and you think you got a testimony, you're fooling yourself.
Amen.
You tell everybody how great a Christian you are and live the hypocrite's life and say, "I love God with all my heart," and you live like the devil. You drink your beer and wine, amen, and run with the devil's crowd, amen, and lie and cheat and steal and do all kinds of wicked things and think you have a testimony, you're fooling yourself. World knows who you are.
That's right. Amen.
And the church knows who you are after a while.
Amen.
They watch your tracks a little while, amen. They'll find out that your tracks don't match those sheep tracks.
Amen.
Who you mad at, preacher? I'm not mad at nobody. I'm preaching myself this morning.
Amen.
I don't want to be no hypocrite.
That's right.
I want to have a testimony. But I can't have no testimony if I've got sin in my life.
Right.
You don't have no influence over nobody if you're living a wicked life, a hypocritical life. Our fellowship with God will be destroyed. Our testimony will be destroyed. Our body will be destroyed. What happened to Achan? He died physically. His wife died. His children died. Paul said about that fellow over in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, says, "You deliver such one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." When you get sin in the camp, and they won't get it right, amen, you turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. What does that mean? That means God will turn the devil loose on them. They'll die. The devil will kill you this morning if God let him. I mean, he wouldn't even wait around. He wouldn't wait at all. You think the devil's friendly toward you, you're fooling yourself.
Amen.
Amen. It don't matter whether you're living for God or not, amen. He hates you. He hates God. He hates every child of God.
That's right.
He hates every sinner. He destroys the life of sinners. He wants them in hell where he's going. And I guarantee you, if God took his hand of protection off of you this morning, the devil would kill you before you got home. The angels of God were not encamped around about you protecting you this morning, you'd have never got to church.
Amen.
The devil would have killed you. He tried to kill Job and God wouldn't let him. Now you can touch all he's got. You can take everything away he's got. You can touch his body, but you can't take his life. And God allowed Job to be tried. But Satan couldn't go no further. But if God takes his hand of protection off you and brings that hedge in, boy, you better watch out. Sin destroys our fellowship with God and the brethren, destroys our testimony, destroys our body, and destroys our rewards, takes our rewards away. Unfaithfulness causes loss of reward. Israel and Joshua was rewarded for their faithfulness. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8, verse 3. The Bible says, "So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night and commanded them, saying, Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, behind the city, go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready." I want you to notice here that God told Joshua to go against Ai after Achan was dead. Now, the thing that I want you to know in Joshua chapter 8, not going to read the whole chapter, I wish I could, but we're out of time. But if you'll read Joshua chapter 8, you'll find that God told Joshua and the children of Israel, whatever you find in the city, it'll be yours. You take it. You find gold, silver, flocks, herds, whatever, goodly garments, whatever you find, you can take it. It'll be yours. What did God do? He rewarded Israel for their faithfulness. He brought judgment down upon Achan and his family for unfaithfulness. Amen. If we do what God tells us to do, he rewards us for it. If you live for God and keep sin out of your life, amen, God rewards you for it. But if you get sin in your life, sin will destroy you. Amen. God deals with sin in different ways. Amen. Proverbs 15:3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Now, God sees everything. Don't ever think that God don't see you. Amos 3:3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" You can't walk with God unless you agree with God.
Amen.
You got to agree with God. You're not going to walk with him. Hebrews 11:5 says, "By faith Enoch was translated, he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." You want God to walk with you, you got to please God. You got to obey God. And when you find from the scriptures that something is sin in your life, you confess that and get it out of your life. God will walk with you. God will bless you. God will reward you. Amen. But sin displeases God. And 1 John 3:21 said, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." You want to please God, you do his commandments. Amen. If you want to please God, amen, then you do what the Lord tells you to do. Keep that sin confessed. And so God deals with it. How does he deal with it? We lose our confidence. He convicts us. He brings conviction. Look at verse 18-19 again of Joshua 7. I got to hurry up. Joshua 18, the Bible says, "He brought his household man by man. Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken." Don't you believe that Achan was under conviction?
Amen.
And I'll tell you he was.
Yes.
And you know he was.
Oh, yeah.
When Joshua, aren't you glad we don't do it this way in the Baptist church no more? I have been in some churches where they did weed out some things. Sometimes that's good and sometimes it's not. But what if the Lord was to come in here today? Now I know he's not going to. I mean bodily come in here today. What if the Lord walked in here today and said, "There's somebody in here been doing something terrible," and he says, tells us what it is. "Somebody in here has been doing something undercover, sinning against me, doing something terrible, and we're going to start taking account." Now, I want the hired family to stand forward. I'd immediately start getting under conviction. What have I done? What have I failed to confess? Oh, something's fixing to come to light. And then he gets one of my children and says, "You're the man," or "You're the woman," or "My wife," or "Myself." You're talking about conviction. Did you know that the Holy Ghost can convict you without doing that? I mean, he can really get a hold of your heart, and boy, he can put some fear in your life. But if there's no conviction, then you're not saved. John 16:7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But when if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." So God, sin displeases God, and then God brings conviction for that sin. You say, "I feel miserable." Well, you're probably being convicted of your sin. You say, "I'm spiritually down. I have no zeal. I have no, God's not blessed me. God's not hearing my prayer." Well, where's the sin at?
Amen.
Is he just trying you, or is there some sin in your life?
That's right.
He might just be trying you. I don't know. But there might be some sin in your life. If you feel miserable. I tell you, I want to tell you this too. When the Holy Ghost convicts you, you won't have to worry about who's speaking to you.
Amen.
When the Lord starts speaking to you, you'll know who it is.
That's right.
Amen. You don't have to worry whether it's the devil speaking to you or some other spirit speaking to you. Amen. You'll know when the Holy Ghost speaks to you.
Amen.
And so he brings conviction. He brings chastisement. And I know I won't take time to read it, but if you'll read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11, you'll find out that the Lord chasteneth those whom he loveth, correcteth every son whom he receiveth. And so if you're without chastisement, the Bible says you're a bastard, not a son.
Amen.
Now you say, that sounds like you're cussing, preacher. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
I'm saying what the Bible says. What is a bastard? A bastard is an illegitimate child. No, I mean, and I don't want to get into all these different things this morning, and that's another message in itself, but if you're really a child of God, you're no bastard.
Amen.
You're legitimate.
That's right.
Amen. And if you're God's child, he loves you. And if you do something wrong, he's going to chasten you.
Amen.
Amen. He's going to correct you. He's going to discipline you as a child. And if you don't heed that chastisement, God may take you home before your time. You don't lose your salvation, but you lose your fellowship and your rewards. God cut you off, amen. Take you home. 1 Corinthians 9:27. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want God to have to cut me off and take me home before my time. I don't want to enter into heaven without any rewards, being ashamed. He'll carry you out of this world if you don't heed his chastisement. 1 John 5:16 says, "If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, shall give him life for them that sin not unto death." There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Ananias, Sapphira must have committed it. They committed the sin unto death, didn't they? They lied to the Holy Ghost. They made God a promise and didn't keep it. They paid with their life. Did Ananias and Sapphira lose their salvation? No. But they lost their life. They lied, they deceived, they hid their sin. But the Holy Ghost knew all about it. Well, first of all, how do you get forgiven of sin? Let me hurry up and close.
Amen.
How do you get forgiven of sin? I like to say, first of all, that Achan's sin was undiscovered by man. There wasn't nobody knew about his sin except Achan and God. Okay? It was undiscovered. It was unconfessed. Achan wasn't confessing his sin. It was unrepented of. And so it was unremoved. In order to get your sins forgiven, you've got to reveal that to God. You've got to confess that to God. Amen. You got to repent of that to God. and then God will remove it.
Amen.
The old saying goes, if you don't confess your sin and repent of your sin, then God uncovers your sin. You want God to jerk the cover off your sin so the whole world can see it? That's what he did to Achan.
Amen.
But if you'll confess your sin to God and repent of your sin, God will cover it.
Amen.
That means he don't cover up sin, but he does cover sin with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. But he don't. He's not saying it's all right to sin. All right? You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
If you confess your sin, repent of your sin, God will have her covered. Amen. But if you don't repent of it, you don't confess it, God will uncover it.
Amen.
Be sure your sin will find you out.
That's right.
1 Corinthians 11:31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Judge yourself, God don't have to judge you. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. 2 Chronicles 7:14, my people which are called my name shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, will heal the land. God promised to forgive us. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So you get your sins forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ by confessing them and forsaking them, repenting of them. Don't have time to preach on how to avoid sin, amen, but hide the Word of God in your heart, amen. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Walk in the Spirit. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. We can't avoid sin if we'll just submit ourselves to God and resist the devil. The devil don't like resistance. He likes submission. When you submit to him, that satisfies him, amen. He'll destroy your life, amen. But if you resist him, he'll flee from you. You draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you,
amen.
Let's stand together this morning for prayer. You say, preacher, I feel bad this morning. I've sinned against the Lord. I've done something wrong, and I feel bad about it. Have you confessed it? Have you confessed your sins to the Lord? You don't have to confess your sin to me this morning. I don't want you to come up here and tell me all the bad things you've done. But I do ask you to tell God all the bad things you've done. And ask the Lord to forgive you of it. And ask the Lord to help you never do it again. Amen. That's what repentance is all about. Elizabeth, you come on to the piano this morning. We'll sing an invitation song in just a minute. We want to have a word of prayer. Page 366 in the Green Hymn Book. I've been preaching primarily to save people this morning. But if you're lost this morning, God can forgive your sin. Don't matter what sin you've committed.
Amen.
There's not a sin great enough that God cannot forgive.
Amen.
Don't matter whether it's thievery, stealing, lying, hypocrisy. It don't matter what you've done. The blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse you from all sin.
Amen.
If you're a child of God, the same goes for us.
Amen.
Don't matter what we've done, if we're honest with the Lord, if we're sincere in our heart, repent of that sin, ask God's forgiveness. He's promised to forgive us. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you he won't. God will. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you and I thank you again for allowing us to be in church this morning. Please, Father, I pray that you'd help me as I preach to others, Lord, to live what I preach this morning. Father, please, Lord, help me not allow sin in my life unconfessed. Help me not to give place to the devil in my life. Father, I don't want my family destroyed, and I don't want to defile my body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, or the church of the living God. Help me, Father, I pray, to be faithful to you. Lord, help us keep our heart right with you. And we'll thank you and praise you. Lord, if there's anybody this morning, Lord, that needs to come and ask your forgiveness for anything, Lord, I pray that they come today. If there's a person in this building that knows you not as personal Savior, Lord, today would be a good day for them to come and trust Jesus Christ to wash their sins away. Lord, I know that His precious blood was shed for the remission of our sins. And Lord, I'm thankful that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. God, please save the lost and reclaim the backslidden. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing a verse two of this old song this morning. You obey the Lord. You say, preacher, if I come, everybody know I'm a sinner. We already know it. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing as we give the invitation this morning. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Sing that second verse. Near the cross a trembling shore.
Come and worship.